Greetings, aliens. It is me, your one and only host, Miss Ella Sanchez of the Nadie Preguntó podcast, because truly nobody asked for this podcast whatsoever, but I'm having a blast and I hope you are too. Wow, friends, I'm not gonna lie, I have been so busy this week, I literally forgot that I had a podcast to do and that I have, you know, life obligations. But I'm not really gonna make this intro super long. We're just gonna get literally right into it. All I have to say is like a little like quick reminder is that the program that I'm using to record the podcast currently, I can only record it in 30 minute increments. So after 30 minutes, it automatically cuts off and I have to like redo another section. So keep that in mind. But you read today's title, Happy New Year. And honestly, like I'm excited, you know, like I'm uploading this New Year's Eve. So we're really cooking up some goodies, some important information, you know, some reminders, you know, but you're going to get into what we're going to listen to. Well, I don't even know what that means. I'm really tired and delirious and I'm also really hungry. So, anyways, I'll see you guys on the other side. Much love. Happy New Year. Happy everything. Bye. And we're back, ladies and gents. And you know what time it is. You knew this was coming as it is the new year. And also since I have made my comeback onto the pod, I do want to remind you guys that every single episode of my comeback has been dedicated to what is going on in the world, what's going on in Palestine, what's going on in the Congo, what's going on in the Congo and Sudan, all the important stuff. I have linked a bunch of resources on who to follow, who to watch, what to watch in regards to what is happening in the world. So I will say this is just a reminder once again for the episode of every episode that I upload thus far. It is important to keep everything in mind, be mindful of the world that we live in. It is the new year, you know, and I want to remind you guys that you listening to this right now, me, I'm providing you a service by giving you a podcast, an episode, and I'm using technology at this moment in time. I am able to access the outside world, the world around me. I'm in a house at the moment. I'm in a room. I have shelter. I have food. I'm literally about to eat right after this. Like, it is important to keep these things in mind and to be mindful of the life that you have. And we all have our problems, obviously, but it is important to be mindful of the life that we get to live and the privileges that we take for granted. And so when I say that, I also mean to keep in mind just everyday life, you know. Lately, me personally, I feel like everyday life, I can't really go normal life without even considering in the back of my mind what is going on in the world. And I'm like, wow, I'm complaining about things that don't matter whatsoever. And there's so many things that have so many solutions, and it is like the least of my worries, the least of my problems. Like, my problems are solvable and fixable, and it is not the end of the world, even though it feels that way, you know. And for other people in the other world, it is the end of the world for them, you know, and they can actually say that it is the end of the world for them. And so I have all the information linked. Just keep an eye out, honestly. Just email your reps, man, call. Like, there's just so many ways we can do this. And honestly, as people, we need to keep it in mind and be mindful. And also, it is the new year, New Year's Eve, that I upload this. And I need you guys to remember that some people are not making it into the new year and they had no idea that was coming. And it's just important to be mindful, to be, you know, in community and act in community and to just really be there for others and be there for your loved ones and really be mindful of that. But I never know how to transition out of this section of the episode, but I just want to remind you guys that everything will be linked below. And just keep an eye on socials, you know, just keep an eye on Twitter, Instagram, whatever social media platforms you use, to just keep an eye out and really be mindful and be grateful that you're listening to this maybe at home or on the way to work, driving, or just as you're doing, you know, daily activities. You know, like, I just really hope that you take into consideration what's going on. So with that being said, we're going to move on to the episode and I will see you guys on the other side. Bye. And we're back, ladies and gents. So you read today's title. It is Happy New Year, essentially. I'm uploading this on New Year's Eve. And I just want to remind you guys before I get into the episode that I am only allowed to record in 30-minute increments with the podcast program that I'm using. So bear with me. But guys, I don't even know how long this episode is going to be. It can be super long or it can be super quick. You know, I have a lot of things I want to break down. And these are just my inspo for this episode. Really, it's just like, it's the new year. And if I'm being honest, I'm taking into the new year, no new me, no new bullshit. Like, same year, new me. It's like, or no, same me, new year. It's like, no, no, no. For me, I told my therapist this yesterday, like, I'm not even doing that. I'm not doing no new year, new me bullshit. I'm not doing no, like, same me, new year bullshit either. It's like, literally, just me. I just want to be the person I am today, mindful and aware, and just take what I've learned in consideration and just apply it to just every lesson afterwards and, you know, whatever the new year brings. I'm excited. Things are looking different for me, and I see myself traveling a lot this next year, and I really am hoping the best for my mental health, because honestly, 2023 was all about mental instability and no mental sanity for me. So honestly, the way I'm looking at the new year is basically just same, or no, no new same year. Okay. I am looking at the new year and how I want to take the new year every new year, essentially. Like, my new thing that I want to keep doing is, it's not going to be no new year, new me bullshit. And all of you that say that are liars, okay? And two, and it's also cringy, I'm sorry. And I'm not going to do no same me new year. No, 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 no. My outlook on the new year is basically, it's just me. Just me, myself, and I have myself at the end of the day, and I will rely on myself 1,000,000% more than I already do now. And honestly, it's just me. It is just me moving through life and enjoying the ride as it comes. As you can say, maybe even The Climb by Miss Miley Cyrus, if you will. But anyways, though, as we move into the new year, I actually broke down all my little reminders, my lessons, and you probably have heard all of these everywhere too, but I have some new ones I would want to add about the new year and stuff. But I broke it down into three categories. I broke it down into like friendship and slash social settings additions. Two, I broke it into dating additions, and I also broke it down into career. So honestly, it doesn't really matter what order we go in. I mean, I'm really down to just do either of them. But let's see what we got. I think I'm gonna start with career, actually. It's at the bottom of my list, but I feel like my life primarily has been, or like this past year, primarily focused on like relationships with people, not just like dating, just like relationships I have with people has been a big lesson for me this year. But what I've learned in my career aspect, I think what I want to take, I didn't have time to fully add every single thing I had for my career edition in this regards to, like, you know, reminders for 2024, what to take into 2024. I was actually listening to Unhinged by Chris Clemens on Apple or Spotify, you know. And Chris Clemens, he's a comedian. He's from Delaware. He's like one of the coolest bad bitches I fucking follow. Like, he's so dope. He's also a YouTuber. And I don't know, I just really love what he does. Like, I've been following him for like 3 years now. He's so cool. To me, he's like the dopest bitch I follow. I love everything he does. And I know, Chris Clemens, you'll never listen to this, but I love you, and everything you do is so fucking cool. And honestly, literally dream. Like, he lives like the dream I aspire for, or like at least a nice version of what I want to live my life as. And I think that a couple things have stood out to me, because he recently done a couple episodes. He does like more comedic stuff on, you know, podcasts in general, on his podcast, but he does some deep shit occasionally. And I think three things I actually been really taking into account recently as the year ends is, one, speaking facts, never emotions. And I know I've been learning that more and more this past year, and I'm going to definitely keep it into the new year. Like, just speaking facts about what happened, not how you feel about said actions. Or you can say, this happened and it made me feel this way, with proof. Like, just speaking facts, not hyperbole. Or no, hyperbole. That's the word, I think. Hyperbole. Something like that. I don't know. Along those lines. Two, I messed up. I had the second one in my head. But then the career one I want to mention. For my fellow creatives out there, we live a very confusing life. I feel like being creative is like one of the greatest yet fucking hardest things ever to be existent. And I was telling my therapist this yesterday. I was like, dude, it's really hard to be in that field because it's like, you feel like you're doing the right things and you also feel like this is like your calling and this is what you're meant to do. And for the most part, it has been like my entire life. Like it's never been something I second guess myself. I mean, like when I was like 10 years old, even younger, before I even knew what the world was about, I wanted to be a scientist, you know? And then I took chemistry to learn that it's not for me. Am I still a lover of all those things? Yes, I love science. I love anything that is regarding to like other interests of mine. They're like things that I like. They're not things I want to pursue in a career aspect, you know? And that's who we are as people. Maybe you're listening to this right now and you're like an engineer, but you have like a niche for, I don't know, anime. It's like, you know, or you have a niche for, what's it called? Something completely opposite, like fine arts or creative arts, you know, or you just like to be in fitness, you know, like those are things that we all do. We're multi-layered people. We're multifaceted human beings. Like we're not just one thing and nobody anymore. I think in the past, you know, generations past, like your parents and their parents and stuff like that, they believed in, you know, only sticking to one knowledge and sticking to one job and one career and only just majoring in one thing, you know, but now it's not the vibe. And also, not only is it not the vibe anymore, it's also you can't physically and financially support that anymore, which kind of sucks to realize. But also, you know, it comes with life and we as humans adapt. And Gen Z, I feel like we're really killing that shit about like being multifaceted and multi-talented in a lot of ways and making income on all of those things in different ways. It's very sick, honestly. Shout out Gen Z. My Gen, you guys make me cringe sometimes, but you guys are bad bitches. I'm not going to lie. And so what's it called? I am really, really for it, to be honest. I'm having a blast, y'all. Oh, I knocked my mic. But anyways, I had the third thing from this Chris Clemens podcast, but I can't remember the third thing. But the career one I mentioned, or I will mention, is he was on this episode about, I think his, like one of his episodes, like 30 things I learned at 30, and also the realistic truth of just like being a career in a creative aspect versus like your actual real life, you know? And also he basically was like, just because what you're doing is free labor, essentially an internship, or you're under someone, you're an assistant, or you're just working with someone that is a mentor for you. Just because it's free labor doesn't mean you're not allowed to be mad about it, stressed about it, or, you know, rightfully, you know, upset that you're not getting paid, which is fair. And I'm not saying it's like ethical. I'm not saying it's fair. Of course, life is very unfair. As you get older, you really realize life is very unfair. And I feel like as I've gotten older and this past year, I've realized that, oh, wow, yes, life is very unfair. But then again, what else can I do? You know, like there's really no solution to when you're like, life is so unfair. It's like, okay, but we had to keep moving on, you know. It's like once you learn that and you accept it, which is really hard sometimes, and I feel like other days, like it's harder to accept other than other days, but that's just really the life. But for my creatives out there, I absolutely understand 1,000,000%, like doing free shit, doing free labor, freelancing essentially. And yeah, you're allowed to be upset about it. You're allowed to be frustrated. You're allowed to be like, fuck this, I can't stand this. But if it gets me further in this said career, then sometimes you just gotta suck it up and deal with it. Life is all about sucking shit up, like for real. Hey, yo. But no, for real. Like when you're in the career aspect, like you gotta put up with a lot of bullshit to get to where you're at. And it's just a hard reality. It's a hard reality that I'm still learning myself. And once you realize that, dude, it's hard. It's like, and then you have every right to be sad about it. Cause I'm not gonna lie, once you really remember that one, your life depends on you, and two, no one's gonna help you get there unless you put in your part. And also you might get taken for granted and your ideas might get taken for granted and not credited to you. Yeah, I cried for a long time and I still do about it. Like it's very real. Like I had an internship and the internship that really helped me, I'm not gonna lie, it was for finance tech or fintech, if you want to be, you know, specific. I did their socials and I made at least maybe over 30 videos worth of content for them. And they only used 3 of them out of all of that. And did I get paid? Oh, no, I did not. And honestly, it sucked. Did I, was it a great thing to put on my resume though? Absolutely, it was. Like, no one really is in finance tech. I worked for a fucking startup app, bro. Not a lot of people can say that. Okay, I'm very honored to have had that and put that shit on my resume. But yeah, you realize that, yeah, it is unfair. I made all these ideas and I did great jobs on all of them. They were fun and it was cool. But did I get compensated? Fuck no, I didn't. Absolutely not. And it's just a hard reality. Do I say that it's got to last forever? No, and it won't last forever, which is also important to keep in mind. But nonetheless, number two on this lovely career edition list on the 2024 reminders, to truly commit to the creative career, it will really have you having the hardest conversation with yourself on where you're creatively at. And I'm still learning that as well. And when I say that hard conversation, I mean, like, if you want to pursue something, let's say, like, full-time in the creative aspect, you want to be an artist, like an actual, like, musician or something like that. You want to be an artist, let's say, in this example. To truly commit to a creative career in that aspect, you need to have the hardest conversation with yourself. And the conversation in question needs to include, like, okay, I've been making music for this long. I've been releasing this and this long. It's not working. What can I do differently? And sometimes you do have to sacrifice some creative decisions. It sucks, but it will help. I'll actually take one example of this one guy I follow. I only follow him because he's kind of hot and his bars are kind of okay. I don't really think that he's, you know, crazy, crazy talented. I'm just kidding. He probably is. I'm just saying. I can't rap, so I can't really, you know, talk about shit that I don't know and can't do whatsoever. But I think his name is like the Toxic Lover Boy. Elijah is his actual name. I think his name's pretty dope. But he's like really popping off right now. And he has like so many followers. I think he's like at like 500K over that at this point, 600. And I found him on TikTok like during the pandemic and I like totally forgot about him. And then he popped up on my Instagram like reels like maybe 2 months ago. And I was like, oh shit, what? And his verses are pretty good. And he just he raps on really popular songs that are really trendy. And I think that what I do admire about him is that, like, he really, I'm talking like, really puts his music absolutely everywhere and 100 times. Like, he'll make this one verse for one song, right? Then he'll post it for like another 4 months of like the same verse, the same music and stuff like that. And I'm like, damn, dude. I know that for me personally, as like a follower, it is a bit, you know, cringy and annoying, but hey, listen, I'm not hating. I'm just saying, me marketing strategy wise, that is how you have to do it. People always say like, oh, it's cringy when you consistently post about yourself and post about your stuff and like always all the time the same thing. It's like, okay, it is cringy, but it gets shit done. It does. Like, it really, really does. Can you not imagine? Like, look, I'm just following this guy because he's kind of hot. That's really it, you guys. I'm going to be really honest with you. He's just kind of hot. And he also has some occasional fire bars. Okay. He has some fire verses. I'm not going to hate too much. All right. I do follow him. I can easily unfollow him, you know. But he puts his shit literally everywhere. Like, his music, his verses, everywhere. Multiple times, mind you. And he makes Instagram reels and TikTok videos of him, you know, dancing to his own verse and stuff like that. Continuously, like, never ending until like he comes up with a new verse and he like another popular song and he raps over that. You know, it's like, it's just the way marketing is. It's cringy, yeah, but does it get it done? Absolutely. Is it, you know, kind of, you know, repetitive? Absolutely. But does it get it done once again? And yes, it does. And it's true, because he was talking about his analytics and he was like on a video or something he posted, he was like, y'all, I know people think that's annoying, that I'm annoying and that I post the same thing over and over again every now and then. Like, I get a new verse, I rap over it, and I make never-ending videos and talk about it, never-ending, until I make a new verse and stuff like that over a new popular song. But it gets stuff done. I have, like, millions of viewers, and they're all followers of mine. And that's how I gain followers, because the algorithm is going to feed it to a new person each time I upload and, you know, post about it. I'm like, that's literally how the algorithm works. He actually understands the algorithm, which you guys don't. Like, some people don't. And that's how it is, unfortunately. That's how it is, unfortunately. You do have to be annoying. You do have to be in everyone's face. You do have to keep doing the same fucking thing over and over again, or just consistently over and over posting different things, but just everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok or whatever. That's the reality. That's the reality that we live in now. Is it great? No. For me personally, I'm a big TikTok hater. I don't have TikTok. I'm normal. I just follow Instagram Reels and call it a day. For me, that's my TikTok. I don't fuck with TikTok. I don't need it and I don't want it. And it's just like, I spend too many hours on there. It's just not for me. I feel like Instagram is like a nice balance. It's like you post pictures, videos and stuff like that. But also you can put Reels in there now. So it's like a 3-in-1 app for me. It's just fine. It's perfect for me. But yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, you have to have those conversations with yourself and you have to be honest about where you're at. Me, I had to have the hardest conversation with myself this year about dance. I was like, okay, is this for me? And if it is, how am I going to do it? And how do I see my new year? How do I see myself incorporating dance, being always busy and stuff like that and on the go? And if I get a new job, how will that work? You know, I have to keep these things in mind and adjust. And we all have to adjust in our lives. Like, we are dedicated to that. We as humans change and evolve every day. And we're a new, I feel like me every day, I'm a new person. I feel like every day I feel different. Maybe one day I wake up and I'm like ready to take on the day, no caffeine and vibes, you know? Other days I need at least a 200 milligram Celsius to get me through the day and I will be grumpy every now and then. But it's just the way life happens, you know? And so it's just really hard to have those things in mind. But once again, my third bullet point in the career edition for 2024 is to truly commit to a creative career. Once again, means you have to have absolutely no expectations, none, zero. And you just keep So to reiterate, to fully commit to the creative career that you want to pursue, and whatever that looks like, it means you truly have to have no expectations, zero, cero, de cero. Like, I'm so serious right now. And look, I know that's hard to realize. I know that's hard to practice. Believe me, it is so difficult sometimes. But at the end of the day, it just depends on why you're doing it. You know, for me, I just feel like it's been my calling my whole life, essentially. And I didn't really see myself doing anything else. Like, I never really envisioned myself doing anything else but something creative, whether that was in social media, whether that was in dance, whether that was in, in fitness, you know? Like, I never really saw myself in anything else. And that's for a reason, you guys. Like, sometimes you have to really look at the situation and, like, career. I'm not talking about just creativity. Like, if we're talking about, like, big boy, big girl careers, like being a doctor and stuff like that, you are going to be, let's say if we're going to take a doctor, for example. If you decide to go to med school, amazing, 10 out of 10. We do need doctors. Like, you guys are the most important people in humanity. Like, you're going to have to go to school for, like, what, 50 years, it feels like, but realistically probably, like, 10 to 15, if not more, depending on what field of what field in the medical world that you're pursuing. If you're going to be a surgeon, ooh, girl, you're going to be in there for forever. And if we're going to take the, you know, let's say you want to be a surgeon, a heart surgeon, you know, that's going to be a lot of school. That's going to be a long time of your life dedicated to just pursuing that full time. And on top of that, you're going to be tested a long time. You're going to be tested your whole career if it's right for you. I feel like even people that are not in creative fields and creative industries and just people that have normal jobs, you know, that have like normal careers, like they're a lawyer, they're a doctor, they're an engineer, or they are in anything else, like, you know, big, crazy, or real estate, you know, like you always have those like doubts. Your whole life, your whole career, you're going to have some form of doubt. And that's fine. As long as you really look at the situation, you're like, okay, well, I don't see myself anywhere else. I don't see myself doing anything else, because that's me right now. Maybe you see yourself in something else. Me, I had the luxury of never, ever seeing anything else. I tried different things and I didn't like them. I was like, this isn't for me. Like, I always thought that my dream job is a job somewhere in the world. And honestly, it's not for me, unfortunately. And it is a hard reality and a harsh one at that. But it's true, bro. It's true. And to truly commit to the creative field and the creative career that it is, whatever it looks like for you, the expectations have to be none. You just have to keep creating for yourself. You have to create with no intention of becoming one, famous, two, rich, three, ever remembered. And when I say that, I mean, like, if you become the most famous creative in the world, let's say you want to be a rapper, you become the fastest rapper, fastest growing rapper in the whole world overnight. You ride the millions, you ride the money, and you get rich and famous and blah, blah, blah. You can be forgotten the next day, mind you. The next day. And for those musicians out there that have built a career where, like, they're literally uncancelable, by the way, like uncancelable, like, or cancelable. There you go. Cancelable. Like, they just can't be canceled. Do you know how hard you have to work to get to that level? You know, it's like, it's not going to be overnight. And if it is overnight for you, then congratulations. You're like that 0.0%, 0.01% that gets there. And once you realize that the creative career comes with no expectations and you really just have to keep relying on yourself and relying on the other people around you that want to do the same thing as you, then you'll be free, truly. You won't be so judgmental on your work. You won't be so, you know, questionable if you're like, is this the right thing to do? Because I feel like as creatives, the only thing that you really question the most is if people are going to like it. And I feel like that's important to have, yes, but having that balance in the middle of like, okay, are people going to like this and fuck with this? And is my audience included in this work that I'm doing? But on top of that, you do have to keep a balance of like, well, I did everything I could. I can do different versions of the same thing, or I can be, I want to word this right. It's like, I can be as considerate as possible with an audience, or said my audience and my niche. But also, I have to keep in mind, is this what I want? Is this what I perceive as good? Is this up to my expectations? You know? And that's what I mean when I say don't have expectations in general about like where your work goes, where it's supposed to be. Because honestly, once you start making artwork or just creative work in general for fame and fortune and attention, and there can be such thing as some good reason for that. Like, you want to be rich and famous and well known because you want to be respected in the field. If you're doing it for rich and fame and for bitches and with no good intentions, I promise you, you will never be successful. You'll be empty on the inside. You will have nothing else to offer. You'll have no authentic work. You'll have no success in the work that you put out. And it'll be obvious to people out there that are like, they did this for money, clearly. And so with that being said, it's like, have no expectations in your creative career. It will come. Everything will fall into place where it's supposed to be, which leads me into my next point is like, creativity will pay the bills one day, and you need to be okay with however long that takes to get there. And I'm learning that myself as well. It will take however long it needs to. You will never know when it's going to happen for you. You will never know when it's going to be the time where you can fully rely on that. And until then, for my fellow creatives, as much as we hate working other jobs, depending on what it is. Me personally, I want to work in different jobs that I actually like and I'm well at. But, you know, sometimes you got to work shitty jobs to get there, you know, and that's fine. And you'll come out of it. Believe me, this new year, I'm leaving the job I'm at 1,000,000%. And I'm going to manifest hard. I'm going to work my ass off to get there. And so my next point is your career goals will change every now and then, and let them. Let yourself change career goals every single day. Because mind you, as a Gemini, I'm changing every day. And also, like, you evolve as a person every day. Every day that you are alive on this planet and existing, you realize what you want and don't want in everything. When you're old and you meet new people, or you just meet new people on a daily basis, you realize you're like reminded. Some people are in your life to just be reminded of what you don't want or what you do want. I think I saw this artwork by Sophie King, I believe, or Sophia King. I follow her on Instagram. She's based in the UK. And I want to buy, if she ever made a shirt that said this, I would die. But basically, she made like stitch work of, what's it called, that basically said, "You inspire me to be nothing like you." And I've said it a couple times on this podcast before, like her artwork and stuff like that. But that's like my favorite one. It's like, ooh, I love it. It's like, yes, you inspire me to be nothing like you. I meet people and I'm like, yeah, you're inspiring me to never be like you, like ever. Like, and I love it, you know? And my last point for the career edition, and also since I'm going to be switching to part two of this, it's okay to not have a dream job. Your dream job can be chasing a purpose, a calling, a dream you had, and a mission in your life. When I say that, and my final thought for this is that today, I mean, no, not today. What am I saying? This year of all 2023, I realized that I didn't have a dream job and that my quote dream job would be to be happy, one, two, to have flexibility and to work from home. And if, or no, work from home sometimes, but other times I have to go out for work, you know, just depending on what that looks like. And three, I have weekends off. And if I don't have weekends off, I'm working on projects that actually inspire me to be creative and fulfill me wholeheartedly and work with other people that understand what it's like to be mellow and understand what it's like to be passionate and, you know, mellow, but also know when it's time to take a break, when it's time to move away from something, you know? And I learned that this year that it had nothing to do with a dream job. There is no dream job on me for me on Indeed.com. Is there a job that can help me further my career and actually pay what I need? Yes. And I'm looking for that. I'm looking for something that just pays really well to keep me alive, to survive, to pay for my groceries, to pay for my credit card bill, to pay for and sustain my life with my cat, you know? Like, of course, I'm looking for that as well. But in the meantime, I need to have a job in the process to give me that flexibility. Meanwhile, I work on myself 1,000,000% on the days I don't have to work, on the days I don't, or I have a day off, you know? And that's when I realized, I was like, there is no dream job. You're allowed to chase a dream of yours that has no dream job. You can say, maybe your purpose in life is you want to be happy and whatever that is. Or your purpose in life is to be mindful and considerate of others. That is also a dream. You don't have to be the number one star about like of everything. And I feel like the whole I don't dream of labor, it's like, okay, you don't have to work if you don't want to. You can definitely marry rich or whatever, but you do have to contribute to society in a different way. You know, like you may not dream of labor, quote, you may not dream of labor. Sure, marry rich if that's what you're asking for in this life. Sure, marry someone that has all the money in the world, will do everything for you and take care of everything for you. But as a person that doesn't want to do labor or work or anything like that, trust, one, is going to be boring for you. And two, if you're not contributing to society in any way, maybe for the people that don't want to work and don't dream of labor and they marry rich, you know, house people, housewives, house husbands, whatever, house partners, maybe you can, you know, inspire someone else. Maybe you need to work on finding a purpose for yourself that isn't just marrying rich and stuff like that. Me personally, if you're not contributing to society, I don't got any respect for you in any way. Not at all. So that's just me. But then again, we're done with the career editions, guys. I have two more concepts and two more categories for you on the next 30 minutes. But anyways, I will see you guys on the other 30-minute increment. Bye. And we're back for the second half, ladies and gents. So the first half of this episode, I was dedicating to what to take in the 2024 career edition. Now, for the second half of this episode, it's going to be focused on friendship and social settings edition, like what to take in the 2024, and also the dating aspect. And I'm also getting really hungry and hangry, so I'm really going to try to make this fast. So my first bullet point that I'm actually going to tie, or no, my first bullet point actually is that some friendships serve different purposes, and that's okay. Sometimes you just have friends that you go out and party with. Sometimes you just have friends that you guys network together and network with others, and you guys exchange networking information with other contacts. Sometimes you just have friends that you just trauma dump with. Sometimes you just have friends with that you like to party at, try new places, like try new food spots or, you know, little shops and stuff like that, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know? Or maybe you have that friend that you just like to do exercises with, you know? It's like, and then you have your friends that you actually like to do all of those things with and, you know, are there for each other and stuff like that. Mind you cannot use your friends whatsoever. You have to be there for all of them in this set equation. But nonetheless, that's a lesson I've learned. And actually, my sister put me onto that lesson because honestly, it was a really big, you know, lesson for me to learn that. But yeah, and then my second bullet point that I'm actually going to tie with my other one is not having a friend group slash girl group is okay. And I'm also going to tie it with making friends is also very hard as an adult. And let me give you why. Because before you guys go ahead and say every time that a lot of girls that do have girl groups and friend groups that are like, is it weird if a girl doesn't have friends? It's like, okay, I do have friends. It's just I never see them, like, straight up. And also, one of those friends is actually in New York, so I can never really see them that much. And all of my friends in question are actually my primos that actually live in Miami. So, mind you, I'm kind of just solo out here by myself with, like, one friend that I never see. Like, never. And so, because a lot of y'all out there like to be like, oh, like, if a girl doesn't have friends, that's a big red flag because it must be her. It's like, actually, let me give you two examples as to why the friends I try to make or the women I do meet sometimes are honestly the worst people I've ever met. I'm a woman lover for the rest of my life. I'm a woman of the people. I love bad bitches. I love women. But some of you guys are really fucking mean for no reason. And I hope that you never are ever happy. Sorry, not really. You guys are just bitches for no reason, with no motive, no nothing. And let me give you two examples. First one, and I was trying to make friends. You know, I was trying to make friends. I was in an era where I was trying to make friends. I actually went actively out to meet friends. I downloaded Bumble for BFFs. I went through Instagram. I actually reached out to some girls I wasn't super close with. But like, okay, I'll just give you the example. One, when my ex and I broke up, he had a friend group, obviously, and they all had boyfriends or girlfriends and stuff like that. So I met one of the girls. We got along really well. We were like, when I was dead with this guy or whatever, and now things are obviously over, way over, long, forever and always. And, you know, we had each other on IG and stuff like that. And then when we broke up, I reached out to her. I was like, hey, so I just want to say that me and this guy, we broke up. I just want to say that. And if you want to stay friends, I'd love to. We can grab coffee whenever you want. I'm super down. You just like let me know your schedule. If that's not for you, because, you know, we did have a friend group prior. It'd be weird. I completely respect that. I will completely understand. No worries. You just let me know what's comfortable and stuff like that. I said it along those lines. I was like, hey, no worries if not, you know, like no worries if you're not up for that. I will 100% respect that. And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry that happened. I'm here for you. I hope that you're okay and stuff like that. And then she was like, I'd love to go for coffee. I'd love to hang out, blah, blah, blah. I gave her my number. I asked her for her schedule. And I never heard from her again. Never. So fuck you, for starters. And if it was going to be weird, quote, weird or awkward, you could have told me that, bro. You literally could have told me, because I left the damn door open. I left that bitch wide open, actually. Not even just open, wide open for you to be like, actually, I'm not comfortable doing that, if that's okay. And I'd be like, 100%, totally fine. And could have unfollowed her that damn day. But no, she wanted to, you know, pretend that she cared and get my info and never really hang out with me when you clearly were like, I'd love to get coffee. No, you fucking didn't. Huevona, de mierda. Fuck you. And two, my second problem this year, my second encounter with trying to make friends, my girlfriends, if you will, my girl group, quote, was actually, I was trying a new gym for like a couple days, because every gym has like a 3-day pass or a free one or a week trial, essentially. And I was like, I'm actually kind of down to try somewhere new just for funsies. It's just for free, you know, like I have no interest in joining, but I'm just down. So I go to this new gym and I actually run into an old high school friend of mine, and a super old one, like blast from the past kind of deal. And I'm talking like we were close, bitch. Like I'm at her parents' type of close. I was at her house like almost every weekend in high school. And it's been, what, 6 years? Obviously, it's fine if like things end. No fucking big deal. But when she saw me at the gym, because I was getting toured, right? She actually is like an employee there. And I was like, you know, somebody was showing me around and stuff like that. As if, like, I gave a shit. I was like, dude, I don't give a shit. I really have no interest in joining. But okay, go off. I didn't tell her that, but it was just really funny. It's just really funny. And so she saw me, and she's like, oh, my God, Gabby, I haven't seen you in forever. She, mind you, she was the one that made a huge scene. A huge scene. A huge scene in the fucking public gym that we were at. And everyone started looking at it. She made a scene, like not a mean one. It was just like a scene of like, oh my God, I haven't seen you since like a lifetime, you know? And I was like, oh my God, hi. Like, how are you? Like, I was just being normal. I was being like, you know, super chill. And mind you, she had my number still saved from high school. Okay, I deleted her number maybe 2 years after we fully lost contact. Okay, I never looked back. I was like, okay. Like, two, she was the one that was like, we all need to get together. We all need to hang out. Like me, you, and my other girlfriend that we also, the other girlfriend in question was like a close friend of ours. Like all of us. We were at one point, like a group of three and a couple of other girlies, other girlies, if you will. So one, she's the one that had my number saved after all these years. Two, she was the one that recognized me when I had no idea. I literally had no idea she worked there whatsoever. Three, she was the one that initiated to make plans and all of us go out and hang out together again. And tell me why. She texted me that day, or she texted me. I replied like a day later or something, God forbid, because I was still debating if I want to like rekindle that friendship. But I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Why not? Then she didn't reply. And it could, you could also argue that, hey, you know what? You did take a day to reply. But I was like, I mean, like, it was just someone that I went to high school with. It's not like super crazy. But it's like, dude, I could have also been busy. And I think I also was that time. But nonetheless, these are the two encounters I've had trying to make friends, trying to make girlfriends. So clearly, not really my fault. It's just really weird when you're trying to make friends and they're just weird about it. It's like, God forbid, bro. And my third example, trying to make friends. I don't know what it is with people in LA. Maybe it's just like transplants. I don't know. But I met these like girls at this one concert I went to. We got along very well that night. We were there for each other. We all got there safe. We never hung out outside of that place ever again. And you know what? We both haven't reached out to each other. And it actually makes me kind of sad. I was like, wow, we're like all the same age. We all like are normal. We're all in our 20s. We're all cool. And we all are like really just trying to figure out life. And we like the same music because we clearly met at a concert that we all like. And we just don't hang out, which I don't. And also, they live close to me, all of them. The two girls in question that I met, they all live in the same like county as I do. Not even that far. Maybe a 30-minute drive at most on a really trafficy day, 20 minutes without traffic. Girl, be fucking for real right now. So yeah, it's not me in this question. I make the effort to make friends, but no one wants to do that apparently these days. So God forbid. This is why I gave up. Bro, I gave up this year. It's so fucking annoying. So fuck you guys. Suck my dick and choke on it. That's all I have to say. And so my next one for the friendship and social settings edition. Let's see what we got here because I actually don't even remember. I love this one because a lot of you are about to hate me for this. Oh, you guys are going to hate my guts for this. Okay. It really isn't okay to not respond for months to friends and family of yours. I really don't care what you guys say about it. I don't. Unless you went through like a life traumatic event, like you lost a loved one, you just moved to a new city, or you just moved in general, you had to move apartments, wherever that is. You just essentially had to move, right? You made a big life decision. You changed careers or something along those lines. If it's not one of those three things or like another major life altering, decision or event that happened in your life, if it's not any of those things, you have no reason to not reply to your friends and loved ones for months on end, or days even, like weeks. Dude, yeah, we all have jobs, all of us. Like literally everyone I know has jobs, of course. Like that's fine. But some of you guys just need to be better at your time management. There, I said it. Get mad at me. I don't give a shit, all right? Honestly, it's really like something that isn't that rocket science to me. You don't poop every day. You can't text back during your poop session. If we're friends, quote, we kind of already know each other very well. So there's that. I don't really care, to be honest. I don't care if that offends you guys. I don't care if that's like, well, that's not very how we're all busy. And we have life. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm busy too. We're all busy. Everyone's busy. It's not like you're that special. You're like, I'm busy. Okay. That makes you special. We're all busy. Hello, life. Like, of course, we have other obligations. We have other shit to do. Like, for real, like, you think you're special because you're like, oh, I can do this because I'm busy. It's like, no, you can't, actually. You don't get to treat people that way, especially your, quote, loved ones and friends and stuff like that. Like, what the fuck? You're not special. You don't get to do that to your friends and family. Like, you don't get to do that shit. I'm sorry. You just need to be better at your time management. There, I said that. That's the reality and harsh truth. Hate me if you want. I don't give a shit. Let's see what else we got. Oh. Expressing what someone did to you will never matter if they simply don't care about you. It's the truth. When I came from this breakup, I could have told this guy a million things and I know he would have not given one single fuck. And that's when you realize, okay, we move on. Not that you expressing to someone what they did to you and how it hurt you, they will never care if they don't give a shit about you. It's the harsh reality of life. It's the harshest, most heartbreaking thing of life. But it's true. You can spend your whole day trying to tell a guy how much he hurt you, how much he broke your heart, how much he destroyed your heart, destroyed you, destroyed your family, whatever, or destroyed the life that you guys had built together. He's not going to care if he doesn't care about you. He will literally just be like, okay, like, I'm telling you now, do not waste your breath on anyone in the new year. My lesson for this is that, like I said, expressing what someone did to you, if it hurt you, if it damaged you, it will never matter if what they did, what's it called? Wait, I just had the wording. Wow. Okay. So expressing what someone did to you, how they hurt you, how they broke you, how they damaged you and your loved ones, or even if you have a family, how it ruined your family, or anything in between, like just ruined opportunities for you and stuff like that. And it ruined your life. Essentially what they did to you hurt you very badly in whatever, whatever form that is, they will never care if they do not care about you. Trust. Take it from me. Take it from literally anyone that's had a breakup with someone or anyone that had a friend breakup in the past year or just overall. Once you learn that you expressing yourself infinitely how somebody hurt you, telling them, oh my God, you ain't shit because you did this to me. They do not give a single fuck that they did that. And they will stand by that statement the rest of their lives. And if they come back, because they most likely will, I'm glad that my ex doesn't have to come back. Ooh, I know he won't, and I'm glad. But trust. You going on and on about how this person hurt you, how this person ruined your life, and telling them that, they don't give a fuck. Once you realize that, ooh, you are free. You are free. You will never waste your breath again. Trust. Because then you're going to spend your time trying to talk to someone that's never going to understand it. Will be dead set on never understanding your point of view. So there's that. That's my point of the day. At the end of the day, you just have yourself and only yourself. I don't really need to elaborate on that. It's pretty obvious. And so my second category of the night, because I got through most of it, because that was pretty much it, honestly, for the friendship and social settings aspect of the category I had. The final one of today is the dating edition. I've learned too much, baby girl. I've learned too much. And I'm going to start really hard with this one. The first one. If a person takes 3+ months of just dating, no title, just going out, having fun, it's going to be a situationship. That's literally what it is. They're not going to cuff you after that. It should not take more than 3+ months to actually see if you're meant to be with someone or if you even like someone. It does not take 3 months, or it doesn't even take 6 months. It doesn't take that long. If you're a real adult, you will know right off the bat if they're like good for you or not. It doesn't take like 50 fucking years to see if it's like if they're right for you. And if they're not right for you, but you guys end up being together, you will see that in the relationship. You will see that. And it'll be up to you when you decide to leave. I've seen couples that break up years after years together, right? But it's like, okay, then you like hear them tell the stories and it's like, okay, well, you saw the signs at some point. You were just in love and that's okay. Like sometimes you really are just in love with someone and you just don't see everything. And that's okay. Like it happens to all of us. Trust, like it really happens. But if you even feel like one hint of your new relationship with somebody, if you feel like one hint something is off, run. I don't care. You run and you end things and you move the fuck on to the new bitch. You heal, obviously, first, okay? You heal first. Then you start progressing and moving on, okay? That's how it works, okay? You heal however long that takes, okay? You heal however long that looks like for you, okay? Maybe it can take a month. Maybe it can take 5 months. I don't know. Or a whole year, depending on anything, depending on the circumstances, right? But do that first, then move on. You know, then move on to like new people and move on to new dating things, okay? That's just all I'm saying. And so it doesn't take that long. It doesn't take that long to actually know if you want to be with someone. It really doesn't. It really does not. Like, it really is not that fucking hard. You guys have made it seem like it's impossible to know. It's like, well, I don't know. It's like, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know if that person is good for you or not. You know if you like them enough and you see yourself with them or not. It is not difficult. And any guy that tells you otherwise, he's lying to you and brainwashing you and gaslighting you. He's like manipulating you so he can like give you no title, no nothing, no other. He wants to fuck other bitches. That's what he's like indirectly tell you, essentially. So that's all I'm saying. Okay. 2, having the dating intentions conversation right off the bat is so important. And if you don't know what your dating intentions are, then don't date. Like, you have to ask yourself the questions of, okay, am I ready for something serious? If not, why? Like, you have to have those conversations. And if you are dating someone that you really like, you do have to have that conversation of, like, where you guys are both at in life dating-wise. If you meet someone, you guys are really, really vibing, you guys are really, really going on great dates and stuff like that, you need to have the conversation at some point. It doesn't have to be, don't even wait 3 months. Don't even wait. Like month one, month two at the most, be like, hey, where do you see this going? And honestly, you saying, I don't know, or I like where we're at right now, or what's it called? I don't know you enough yet. Those are all lies. Run. If they cannot give you a strict, direct answer, run, bitch. Run. Run for the fucking hills and never look back, okay? You just saved yourself a whole four-month relationship. Or no, four-month situationship. Just run. Never that serious. Move the fuck on. And two. Or no, three, sorry. Chemistry versus compatibility are not meant to be one or the other. You absolutely need to have both. And I will tell you, the hardest lesson I learned this year is it's really hard to find someone that has both. Me, personally. I'm not gonna lie. Guy I was hooking up with, it was just pure chemistry, girl. I should call him. But anyways, it's good that I'm not, because we're ghosting each other, so it's great. It's great. We're good. And if he comes back, I know for a fact I will not be hitting him up, because I love myself. I don't hate myself. I already did my time. I already did my hoeing, all right, after the breakup that I had. I already did all of that bullshit. Now I'm good. Now I'm like, I got it out of me. We're good. I'm okay now. And so, yeah, that's really it. It's really not hard. It's really hard to find someone that has, like, you have chemistry and compatibility. Oh, girl, I cannot tell you how hard it is. It is really hard out here, man. It's really hard. And number four, shooting my shot got me nowhere, and that's honestly okay, because I shot my shot heavily at so many guys after the 2 months I was, you know, single, after the 2 months I healed from this past breakup and stuff like that. And girl, I'm not gonna lie to you, it's fun, okay? Go out, date, be a hoe, I don't know. Make sure you wear a condom and wrap it up and get tested if you're gonna be out in the streets hoeing, okay? That's all I'm saying. Number five, dating just to date with no end goal is sometimes necessary. Should you abuse this idea? No, actually, you shouldn't take advantage of people that actually want some form of love and connection and, you know, care and actually are looking for something serious. And does that mean you get to treat others horribly and use them without warning? No, also. So when I say dating just to date with no end goal, I mean dating us to see what's out there and what you like in a person and what you like in a potential partner and what you don't want to deal with and tolerate, okay? It is not a crime to do that, as long as you were honest about your intentions from the day one, okay? And you are honest the whole long way, the whole ride, then that's fine. Because if you're doing it and not saying anything, that's also fucked up. I will be very honest about that. That's pretty fucked up, okay? Number six, moving like a man in the dating world has been amazing. And yes, it does get tiring. Sure. Do you think I had fun saying good morning, handsome, to like 10 other guys? It's really annoying sometimes. But sometimes you just got to keep your options open. And you have to accept that sometimes you just got to do that and keep the bullets there. Keep the hoes there. Keep the hoes lurking. All right. It is what it is. All right. In this era of my life, for the remainder of the year, I was literally telling, like, oh my God, good morning, handsome, to like 10 guys. And I'll do it again. I'll do it again. Because you are single until someone is that serious about you. It doesn't have to necessarily be marriage, but you'll know if someone's serious about you. They will act on it. It's really not difficult. Like, it's really not. The whole topic of a man will show you he likes you, you will never question it. Yeah, you will know 1,000,000%. It's really not, like, men are not playing, like, games. Like, they are pretty obvious when they like you. Like, it's very clear. So, I'm just saying. Number seven, leave after the first and only red flag. And yes, I'm still learning this too. I'm just saying. Some people, okay, this is also my favorite one that I actually mentioned. I'm also running out of time, so there's that. Let's see. We might not get into everything, you guys. But I think my favorite one out of all of this, this entire list of mine, is some people move on faster than others, and absolutely no one is entitled to tell you when you're ready to move on. Do you know how many times, like, I feel like 2023 was a whole breakup year for literally everyone, celebrities and just everyone else. And people are like, oh my God, she's moving on so fast. Like, what the hell? It's like, okay. But then again, it's like, who are you to make that decision? You're not there. You don't know that person. And it's also like, when I was starting to date after 2 months of being single, a lot of people were being like, oh my God, that's like really recent. I'm like, actually, no, it's not. I took a lot of time to heal. I went to therapy. I talked through it with my therapist. I talked through it with my friends and my family and my sister and my mom and stuff like that. And I'm good now. You might think that 2 months is too soon. Bitch, it wasn't soon enough. I was like, no, 2 months, solid. I'm happy. I'm good. I took 2 months to cope, cry, reflect. I reflected my girl. I was learning new life lessons every day for like a week straight after shit happened, after shit hit the fan. So of course I'm doing better. Obviously I'm doing a lot better. So who are you to tell me, oh, you're moving on so fast? It's like, okay, well, at least I don't hit up my ex. So I'm good. I have not hit up that man once and I never will. All right. I don't hit my ex up. You guys do. Not me. Y'all stay safe. If you want to play Recycle the Ex, you guys go ahead. Not me though. Mm-mm, not me. But yeah, let's see. And personally, me, I always move on quickly. It's not something that like I plan. It's something that just happens. You know, like I move on so fast. I don't know why. It just is that way. Like I'm just telling you guys. It's just like me and who I am. I don't know. And my final notes of the night are my dating edition in 2024 bullet point is that the final thing I have to say is if you keep saying that everyone in the dating world sucks, then that's only the only thing you're going to attract. You're only going to attract shitty partners. You're only going to attract emotionally unavailable people. If you keep saying that, I know it is hard. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's like, oh my God, it's so easy. No. Human relationships as a whole, like not even just like dating, human relationships are very complex. They shouldn't have to be, but they are. Like we're all different people. We all grew differently. Like we all might be the same in a lot of aspects. We all, you know, have suffered in our own way, the human experience, right? But it changes us who we are in different ways. Like if, let's say you meet someone that has the most identical trauma as you, like, oh, your parents got divorced and or whatever it is. You obviously are going to learn different lessons than they did. And some of the lessons are going to be similar, but that doesn't mean they're identical, you know? And trauma bonding is a real thing. And if you keep saying that all the people that you meet are trash, then that's all you're going to manifest. That's all you're going to meet, you know? Like, I'm really fortunate to have met maybe only a couple terrible guys of me being single. Other than that, I've never had a horrible, terrible experience. And the few times that I have, it's been like, quote, mind you, the key word, few, okay? And then you leave and you don't look back, you know? I've been really blessed to have dated guys that are really great because I never really thought about dating until I ended up being in a relationship. And then after that, I even like didn't think about it. I didn't think about it. And I really told myself at the end of the year, I was like, yeah, I'm good. I don't want to date anymore. And then I meet someone, you know, it's fine. You're going to meet someone. And if you don't, you're going to have to learn how to be okay with not meeting someone too. That's just the way life is. Like, as I get older, the more I realize that being alone really is the answer. Is it always the answer? No. And when I say being alone, I mean, being single the rest of my life sounds pretty okay to me. Because I don't like the way men think in this world. A lot of them are not the best, and that's okay. Are we going to say that every single man is like that? No, definitely not. Is there somebody out there for me? Sure. But I also have to keep in mind that if I don't meet someone that meets my standards, then I just had to accept that, okay, I'd rather be single for the rest of my life than ever be with someone that doesn't love me, that uses me or takes me for granted or makes life impossible for me. Like, you know? I'd rather be with friends and spend time going out and being independent. Like, I've been independent my whole life, y'all. Like, before I even met the guy I was with, like, I was single for, like, 5-6 years. I didn't have any interest in that. I just knew it was going to happen. I had little situationships here and there, and I had no intention of ever pursuing anything further. But it just happened. And I never manifested those things for me. Like, it just happened. And as I go older, as I get older, I'm like, okay, if it happens, it doesn't. If it does, great. You know, it's like, you have to take that with a grain of salt. And if you keep manifesting really shitty people because you keep saying everyone is shitty, then that's all you're going to attract. You're ruining it for yourself. I need you guys to realize the power of words, the power of thought is very powerful. It's very real. What you think can really be your reality. Whatever you think of, whatever you say, and it's hard to learn that lesson where you're like, oh, you know, life is hard, then life will be hard. You know, it's like really power of words and power of thought is very, very scary. Because whatever you say, whatever you do can become a thing, can become your life. You know, that is very powerful. And learning that and learning how you control your thoughts and your mind and what you say is very difficult. It is. I'm not saying you have to do it overnight. And I'm not saying you will ever learn to do it properly. But remember when you see yourself, oh, men are terrible. It's like, okay, wait. If I keep saying men are terrible, then it's going to only be terrible. Because that's what you keep manifesting. Then you're going to keep meeting shitty people and shitty guys and stuff like that. Same with men. Like, girl, you're probably out here wanting the house life and dreaming of everything that you want. You want whatever. You have your concept of the ideal woman or whatever. If you keep saying that these hoes ain't shit, well, I'm going to tell you, then the hoes that you meet will not be shit. I'm just going to tell you that now. Don't be fucking stupid. use your fucking head, use your fucking common sense. I know that it's not common for most people to have common sense, but the power of words, the power of thought are very real. And what you say and what you do can be very much your reality. So that's all I'm saying. So with that being said, guys, I'm tired. I'm hungry. I hope you have a beautiful new year and a safe new year's. Do not drink and drive. Make sure you call an Uber. Make sure you call a Lyft. Just whatever gets you home safely. Do not get behind the wheel this this New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. And also, with that being said, take care of yourselves. Happy New Year. Happy 2024. Remember that you're going to be okay. Life is in store for you. And if you have had a bad year like I have or whatever it is, I promise you that the new year is going to have something different and a clean slate for you to start over and whatever that looks like for you. So with that being said, much love. Happy 2024. And everything is going to be A-OK. Bye.